What's going on, everybody? Welcome to week two of the Pro Football Focus Show here on RotoGrinders. I am Britt Devine, joined by, as always, this season, Mr. Ian Harditz. Ian, it was a fun week one. I escaped with a pretty decent profit on week one. Last year, I was talking to our producer before the show. Last year, week one, I got the injury bug hit all my lineups, right? And I went way in the hole week one, got to call it all back for a couple of weeks. Pretty good to start the season with a win this year.
Yeah, man, wasn't the best week one for me, I will say. I rode a little bit too heavy on my Todd Gurley call. I thought a lot of the rest of the plays in general, I think we had some good angles. But, you know, that game got away from him a little bit, and Gurley just unfortunately wasn't the guy to be out there in comeback mode. But all in all, good week one, man. And one of the things we talked about going into last week was whether or not we could expect offenses to keep it up after seeing Watson and Mahomes do their things. And I think in general, if we at least have, you know, two average to above average offenses, we can be pretty pleased with the way they can move the ball despite the, you know, whole no preseason element of this year.
Yeah, like scoring. I think if you blindly bet the overs, you came away with a profit. I think that's still in play this week with the no, there's no fans. You see a lot of these road teams using the no huddle that they really couldn't use too much before. I like scoring. I think you can pretty much do that again this week and expect to come out ahead. I think there's just a lot of scoring in the NFL through these first couple of weeks when there's no fans. I think defense probably a little bit behind the offense. And hey, if you just want a couple of bets, go bet every over. I think you're going to come out ahead. I got some more, you know, detailed bets a little bit later on. But yeah, scoring, I think it's going to be a fun week too. But one of the things we got to do, right, we got to look back a little bit and we got to see what happened week one. We got to see how do we interpret that for week two. One of the things I do in my Millionaire Maker articles, you probably haven't read it, a lot of the RotoGrinder subscribers that are premium have, I talk about all of the time in that recency bias. We had, I'll use an example from last year. We saw Alvin Kamara week two. He was the highest owned player. Drew Brees got hurt week two last year, right? And Alvin Kamara stunk. Week three, nobody thought Alvin Kamara could have a good game without Drew Brees. He's the highest scoring running back on the slate and nobody owned him. Those are the types of things you have to look at when you're playing these large field tournaments in an attempt to get ahead. And I got one of those, Ian. I'm gonna cheat on your helicopter plays a little bit towards the end of the show, but I got one of those guys for you. Actually, two of them, I think, can have some really big games, and you got some nice ones as well. But let's look back at your mismatch manifesto. It's a free article, right? So you don't have to have the PFF subscription. If you want to get the grades and you want to get all the premium articles and all that stuff, you got to pay the man. But they're nice enough to let Ian put this out for free along with his helicopter plays. Let's go over some of the main things. You look at explosive plays, pace, pressure, yards before contact, expected points added, things you can look at in the passing game. What are some of the big points from week one that we can extrapolate into allowing us to do good in week two?
Yeah, unfortunately, week two version is behind the paywall, but all the
charts. Oh, those bastards.
I know, man. It's a decision out of my control, but all the charts that you're going to be screen sharing and showing on, like I tweet those out, those are available. You just got to kind of pull your own takeaways from it. But we're going over it right now, so it might as well be free, right? So first thing, yeah, and so just so everyone knows the general goal of this, you know, whenever we're talking about matchups, it's always, okay, we got the ninth-ranked offense and X stat versus the 31st ranked defense and Y stat. And it's always a two-way street. I attempt to combine those and make it more of a one-way street and, you know, just get a better look at it. So looking at explosive plays, the matchup that really pops out immediately is the Lions at the Packers. And it's not so much what the Lions did in week one. It's that the Packers were that good on offense. We all saw Aaron Rodgers, you know, pissed off mode. Aaron Rodgers just going nuclear last week. But also that Packers defense was awful against the Vikings. I mean, the manner in which they let the Vikings get back in that game so efficiently, you know, maybe it was just playing the prevent defense in the fourth quarter and not really caring one way or another. But, you know, ranking dead last in yards per play allowed after 1 week, you know, it's only so many ways how you can kind of dress that up. So while the Lions don't have Galladay, you know, we did still see some good things last week. I mean, they by all accounts win that game if Swift just holds on to that good ball by Stafford at the end. So, you know, Lions, I think we all just kind of shaked our head. Oh, it's the Lions. Of course they didn't win, but you know, we did see the signs there for the reason why a lot of people, including myself, pick the Lions to win the NFC North. So, you know, I'm wearing my clown mask. I get it. The Lions are going to line. But I think, you know, you're talking about overs, and Lions-Packers could definitely be a sneaky one.
Yeah, and maybe the recency bias, people will – Aaron Rodgers can't repeat that. Maybe he can, and that'll be an interesting play. It doesn't look like he's going to be too highly owned this week. So we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Give me a couple other things. Let's go down to the pace version of this. which teams are playing fast. There were a lot of snaps in a lot of games this week.
Yeah, a couple cool concepts. There's one that really shocked me for a second. The New York Jets were actually graded out as the third fastest offense in situation neutral pace last week, only because they were in so few situation neutral
pace.
Exactly. Yeah, when the score was within 6 points, we saw them at the usual gay snail pace. So it is what it is. But yeah, two real speedy games popping up here. We have the Cowboys, who were number one in situation neutral pace last week, and they were, you know, top five last season as well. So that's not surprising. Versus the Falcons, number 10. We all saw what they have been able to do kind of in comeback mode over the last two seasons. So that's the obvious one. You know, I think highest over-under of the week. But maybe the sneaky one is the Cardinals, who come in at fifth against Washington, coming in at fourth. This new Scott Turner offense in Washington, I know Haskins didn't execute it quite as efficiently as they wanted in week one, but it's certainly an improvement over what they were running, you know, the second half of last year with Callahan. Just, you know, the entire offense being kind of set around 15 to 20 carries to Adrian Peterson per week. So, yeah, it wasn't the best start to week one from this Washington offense, but I think we're going to see better days ahead. And man, this version 2.0 of Kyler Murray and company, they got that alpha receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, and it seems like it's opened up the entire playbook for them. So really excited for what they're going to do here in the upcoming weeks.
If you subscribe to the Blitz here on RotoGrinders, a projection set from Derek Hardy, that loves him some Dwayne Haskins this week. I think it's reading into some of those pay stuff. I'll have to see if it sticks as it adjusts throughout the week, but the Blitz currently loves Dwayne Haskins, also loves Kyler Murray, who we're going to talk about in just a little bit as well. All right, O-line, D-line. We saw, you know, what a mismatch on the offensive line can do for the Redskins last week. Just absolutely terrorized Carson Wentz. So what type of things stand out this week?
Yeah, I think we gave some credit to D-line, Washington D-line before that game, so hopefully we can stay on top of it. But four key matchups are sticking out as quarterbacks that just might be overwhelmed in a similar manner as Wentz was last week. First one is Drew Lock at the Steelers. I think we kind of know that one. Steelers were number one in pressure rate last season, number one in pressure rate after week one. Wentz is on the list again against the Rams. We saw what the Rams were able to do with Donald, especially leading week one in total pressures and just making life hell for Dak Prescott most of that Sunday night. So, you know, we'll see if Lane Johnson can get back out there, but might be another week or two before we really want to go back to the well with those Philly players. Dak Prescott himself, and again, you know, this is all based on week one stats, so we got to take it with a little bit of grain of salt. But when we look at that Cowboy O-line, with Leo Collins out, with Cam Irving out, with Tyron Smith now being, you know, a midweek addition to the injury report, you know, you don't have to go back that many years. I believe it was 2017. Different team, I get that. But when Dak has lost Tyron Smith over the year, things have crumbled pretty fast. The O-line has always been the engine of that offense. They're not going to become awful without, you know, one or two of the guys. But, you know, expecting them to maybe meet the expectations for the highest over-under of the week without a couple of their starting tackles could be more problematic. And then finally, we have Daniel Jones at the Chicago Bears. I was actually pretty impressed with how Jones looked, all things considered, in that Monday night matchup. I mean, just, you know, I don't think anyone expected him to do anything well. And he actually did make some plays out there, despite, you know, being pressured on almost half of his dropback. So this is still a tough spot. I'm not really going back to Daniel Jones well just yet, but I am more optimistic about him moving forward after they get through this hellacious September schedule.
All right. We'll talk about the Giants. I like that offense. I like the Bears offense too. So you'll get one of those bets from me. The other thing, right? Defenses don't matter. Running backs don't matter. Quarterbacks don't matter. Does offensive line matter, Ian? Because I want to play me some Zeke. I want him to get fed. Is that going to affect him at all this week?
I think it's our ability to judge those metrics that makes them not matter sometimes, and we end up over-influencing it. But Zeke is just a setup to absolutely smash. Now, the yards before contact aren't super out of this world for the Cowboys matchup, but it's certainly nothing to shy away from. The matchup's where it is looking pretty good in terms of, you know, who can just pick up bunches of yards before they're even meeting a defender. Again, that Lions-Packers game just popping off as two running games that should be able to have a bunch of success. The Colts, man, I mean, I know they didn't run the ball quite as much as we thought last week, but when they did, they were pretty efficient doing so against a Vikings defense that, without Danielle Hunter in there, man, they're just not really a front seven we have to fear in quite the same manner. And then finally, the Patriots. Like the Patriots-Seahawks, you know, we talked about the fast-paced games, but this is the slowest-paced game of the week. We've seen the over-under dip a little bit, but at the same time, we're talking about two really efficient offenses and what they're trying to do. So, you know, I really wanted to take the under with that Seahawks-Patriots game, but the more I look at it, I think I'm just going to stay away from it because as much as the Patriots are this, you know, complete run-first offense trying to milk the clock, hey, Cam went 15 for 19 last week with a couple of drops. And, you know, while that was their week one version of the offense, I don't think we've seen the full scale of what they're going to do with a healthy Cam Newton under center.
Why are you trying to ruin everyone's fun with these unders? Have some fun and bet some overs, Ian. It's more fun that way if you bet the over instead of rooting against points all week. All right, let's go to one final one. Let's go to EPA, expected points added. This is sort of all the little fun stuff that you get to look at behind the scenes from Pro Football Focus. What do you see there, and what can we extrapolate for week two?
You wanted the overs, man. This might be our best tell for it because last week we had three of these matchups where, again, I'm taking the offenses, EPA, I'm adding the defenses, EPA allowed per play, and we're seeing just how the matchup sets up. And last week we only had three matchups where both offenses had a positive combined EPA. All three hit the over. So, again, it goes back to the idea where if we have two even just above average offenses of competency, we can expect some points. And so the five matchups we have meeting that criteria this week are Jaguars at Titans, Vikings at Colts, Lions at Packers, Chiefs at Chargers, and the Patriots at Seahawks. So, you know, that last one's the only one I would probably stay away from. The other ones, though, I really like. And again, you know, maybe we'll see Cam and Russ, you know, engage in a sort of a run-heavy shootout.
All right, so that's now behind the paywall, those bastards over at PFF. Just kidding. They have some really great stuff over there. The subscriptions to get access to it, what, you just need the $39.99 one?
Yeah. It's not too bad.
Yeah, you get so much with that. It's a great add-on. One of the only other subscriptions I have outside on the industry outside of what I have here at RotoGrinders. So go check it out. Great stuff going on over at PFF. You can get all the grades. And then if you want all the real advanced data, it costs a little bit more. But if you're a serious DFS player, make sure to go check at that. Speaking of serious DFS players, it was sure nice seeing the teams back out on the gridiron over the weekend. Lucky for us, that was just week one. There is no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to your app store now because you don't want to miss this. Draft your lineup now and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. Sweat, man. All the wings and pizza I eat on a Sunday, that is the sweat that I have too. You can also enjoy the sweat with DraftKings. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching games quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. DraftKings has paid out billions, that's with a B, of dollars to winners since 2012, so they know a thing or two about cold hard cash. Download the DraftKings app now and use code DFF for a limited time. New users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on week two. Enter code DFF and get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code DFF only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, let's speak. You know, DraftKings is DFS. Hey, if you're in one of those sites, states where you can bet legally, let's talk about some bets. Always like those. Tooting my horn, 2-0 last week. I got three for you this week. My first one, maybe we'll alternate here. I got Rams to win -120. If the Redskins can beat the Eagles, Ian, and get all those sacks, newsflash, Aaron Donald is a bad man. Over under 2.5 sacks for Aaron Donald this week. Not to mention, I think I like the Rams offense. We saw Malcolm Brown do pretty good. You got Bobby Trees. He's always pretty good. Higbee's going to get involved. Kupp's going to still do his. I think the Rams can win this. I don't know why they're an underdog, probably just because they're on the road. But I like them to win straight up. You can take the points if you don't want to do that too. But yeah, I like the Rams quite a bit this week.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there. And, you know, I don't know about sacks. Those tend to be pretty tough to predict. But if we put the over-under on pressures at like 7 or 8.5, I think I would be leaning towards the over there. I didn't have quite as good of a week one as you. I had to go 1-1. Unfortunately, you know, in predicting the Saints and Bucks might go under, I failed to account for the defensive touchdown possibility of that. So win some, lose some. But, you know, this week I found a – all right, you know, I know parlays in the betting world are usually frowned upon. But, man, I just really think here we got some teams that are going to win. And, you know, I am not looking at road splits as heavily as I think I would in the normal year without these crowds and just with all the circumstances. But, you know, I look at the 49ers facing the Jets, the Ravens facing the Texans, and the Chiefs facing the Chargers. And to me, I just see three W's. They're all favored by Yeah, exactly, man. They're all favored by more than 7 points. If you parlay those three, high-end money lines, you're betting $100 to win 114. So, it's reasonable. You got to put your neck out there a little bit. And, whenever you're, again, I understand in the past, I've done these parlays before and you go, oh, wow, how could these teams lose? And inevitably, one of the road touchdown favorites tends to blow it. But, if you want to trade the 49ers, maybe the Buccaneers, you get a similar payout. I wouldn't blame you there. But I just really think right now and early in the season, if we can target these atrocious teams, or in the Texans' case, just in a brutal matchup against arguably the highest functioning team in the league right now, why not?
The Ravens just crush everybody. I'm not worried. I think I might have made sort of that same one at the sports book. I get in there on Monday to mix it up, right? Get a little ahead of the line. So I like that one. The 49ers too. If you just, I wrote on our sheet here, it's a high interest savings account for a week. Just bet the 49ers. They're like minus 300 or something, but I don't see how they lose against the Jets. I know it's west to east early game, so you got a little bit of that. There's no way the 49ers are losing, in my opinion. The other one I got is the Bears Giants. I like the over in that one. I like the Bears Lions over, and I think that got there last week as one of the bets. I think the Giants offense looked pretty good against the Steelers. I think the Bears, I did take a couple injuries in that Lions secondary for them to really start putting up points, but I think they're in a good point. I don't think the Giants are really that great either. Once Ben Roethlisberger knocked off the rust, after the first quarter or two, that Steelers offense was basically cruising. I like the over in that game, 42. There's just too many points being scored with these quiet stadiums. So I got the over on that one. So that's three bets for me. Rams to win. I got the over on the Bears Giants. And this is a little cheat, and I'm still going to count it, right? But taking a minus 300, there's no way the 49ers lose against the Jets. So I got that one. Anything else you got for some bets out there?
Yeah, so I'm going to count my first one as that, again, 49ers, Ravens, Chiefs, Moneyline parlay. And then I mentioned those over-unders earlier. The two that stick out just in terms of the most positive matchups I'll hang my hat on, which is Vikings, Colts over, and the Lions, Packers over. I know the Colts, Vikings one has been moving up throughout the week, but I believe both these are still under 50 at the time of this recording. So let's clear that 50 burger.
Jack Doyle and Pittman, those just crossed beat me, about 20 minutes before we got the show. Both those guys looking inactive. Does that change anything for you?
Makes me interested in Mo Alley Cox at 3K, maybe.
Yeah, we'll get some DFS sleepers. It's always tough. It seems like the injury reports, maybe I think it's because we had no preseason, like in practice or even in game, we don't hear about these till Thursday, Friday. Now it makes for some late week additions for us to get some value. So let's move to some position chatter. We've got, cash gameplay. We've got some GPP takes at each position. At the end of the show, don't forget, we're going to have the helicopter plays. Ian's got his list of five. That's also on PFF. Did they throw that behind the paywall too?
That one's still free.
All right. So you can get that one. We don't know how long. If they catch on, if all five go ballistic, that's going to be behind the paywall in week three. I can pretty much guarantee you. But I'm going to keep track. I got two of that as well. We both loaded up. I had this in here first, Ian. I guess it's more of a DraftKings play. I think on FanDuel, if you want to get Lamar Jackson at quarterback for your cash teams, you can still do it. But on DraftKings, DraftKings pricing dude, if you need some help, I'm available, right? Kyler Murray shouldn't have go ballistic, have like a bajillion points, and then go down 400 points against Washington. I don't know how that algorithm works, but that's what happened on DraftKings this week. He is by far going to be the most, owned quarterback of the week in cash, probably even in tournaments. How do you just not want this? The running's there. The scrambling was great. And we know Washington has that defensive line. That's just going to be more scrambles, easy rushing yards for Murray. And he hits that turbo button and no one in the league can catch him in that little 5 to 10 yard burst he has.
Yeah, I wanted to try to differentiate it and pick another cash game QB, but I just couldn't, man. QB 11, how? Like, that doesn't even make sense. So, and this was always the point with Kyler. It's like, I understood the concerns that, hey, maybe the 2020 Cardinals could be a lot like the 2019 Browns from a win-loss perspective. But the Kyler rushing floor is just, it's number three in the league behind only Lamar and Josh Allen, who are top three quarterbacks in my rankings this week at least. So Kyler, need to continue to fire him up in that top six, eight range at a minimum, not 11. I mean, all due respect to the Washington D-line, but the 49ers had a pretty damn good D-line too, and Kyler was ended up being just fine with that in week one. So in addition to rushing, though, just the steps he took forward as a passer in week one, the chemistry, I mean, completing 14 of 16 targets to DeAndre Hopkins in their first game together looked awesome. The concerns we had with him as a passer already look like he's taking that natural year.
Oh, Ian, sorry. So I'll go on there. You know, who would have thought, right? That DeAndre Hopkins joins Kyler Murray, and all of a sudden they have an amazing passing attack. Who could have thought something like that, as crazy as that, could have happened out there? So I like that call quite a bit. Ian, I see you're back here. What else you got to say about Kyler Murray?
Yeah, man, just look, the rushing floor is there. We saw him with
Nope.
the QB 11. So in cash, you know, maybe fading him in tournaments, I can understand that. But in cash games, when we know the ownership is going to be up there anyway, might as well go back to the well with Kyler Murray. Now, moving on to my GPP quarterback, I want all the Tom Brady this week because, okay, debut didn't go quite as planned, but we talked about this last week. It was a tough matchup going into New Orleans, playing the potential, you know, NFC front runner to make it to the Super Bowl. And okay, he didn't get the win, but I'll tell you what, that deep ball looked awesome, man. I mean, I've had like five people just hop into mentions this week and just, you know, shoot down Mike Evans or Scotty Miller saying because of Brady's noodle arm. I'm not sure what game they were watching. This dude was putting the ball on the money 40, 50 yards downfield. Didn't get some of the completions, but Evans drew deep DPI, Scotty Miller drew deep DPI. And it sounds like Goblin even has a chance to get out there now after returning to practice on Friday. So with or without Goblin, I think this Panthers defense is bad enough for Brady and company to put up a bunch of points, kind of give us a performance that most people were hoping for in week one. So I thought he'd be a little chalkier in the bounce back, but looking at some early projected ownership, doesn't seem that way. So give me Brady all the Mike Evans in this kind of early season squeaky wheel spot. And assuming Goblin's out, even if he's not out, honestly, Scotty Miller in that low 4K range has some real nice value potential.
Yeah, we got Tom Brady, 4% on DK, 2.5% on FanDuel. Angry Brady, we'll see if it works. You know, Angry Brady works when you're like 35. Does it work when you're 43? I guess we'll find out. I wanted to note too. I think right before the show, Bruce Arians came out and said Godwin returned to practice, but he still considers him doubtful to play. So he's got to clear some steps. We'll see what happens on that one, but I did want to make that note for everyone. So it could be Scotty Miller time for everybody. A couple of mine. I mentioned I like that over in the Bears game. Dude, give me Mitchell Trubisky again. He got there last week. It took the second half, but the Giants defense stinks. I like Daniel Jones a little bit too. I like this game to shoot out. You can take that. And the thing with Trubisky is target tree should be pretty narrow, right? I didn't have him with any Jimmy Graham last week, which stunk, right? But Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, Ted Ginn played a lot of snaps. You can mix in Cohen, and I think you know where most of the targets are going to go on that one. And then if everyone's playing Derrick Henry, you know, if you're Derrick Henry is going to get three touchdowns and 195 yards. Sounds like the Jaguars are going to have to throw the ball. We have almost no ownership on Gardner Minshew. You saw Chenault come in there. DJ Shark, right? Only three receptions. Nobody wants to play him. This looks like a good spot, maybe more of a secondary stack where you play Henry with Shark or Henry with Chenault, something like that to take advantage of it. But if you want a cheap quarterback with some cheap targets that have a lot of upside, I think the Jaguars could be passing a lot in this game. And I don't understand how Minshew is basically garnering no ownership right now. So that should wrap it up at the quarterback position. Running back, why don't we start with you? Talk about a couple of plays. I think there's three running backs that everyone's going to own right now. It's going to be Zeke, it's going to be Derrick Henry, and it's going to be Jonathan Taylor. These guys are just too cheap. Christian McCaffrey doesn't even have like the monster game, and his price went up or stayed the same. And if he's not getting eight or nine targets a game, maybe that will change. Maybe that's some recency bias. We got to think maybe he can elevate to that. It just seems like going to that next tier of stud running backs looks like the way to go this week.
It looks like, you know, with the pricing that we're either seeing the values, you know, in that Jonathan Taylor range, or they're paying up for Zeke. But yeah, man, if McCaffrey's going to get 4 to 5 targets, he's not going to be worth over 1,000 more than the next closest running back every week. So getting ahead of that potential trend will be important. I do think that Jonathan Taylor, he's going to be commanding 30% plus ownership potentially in cash games. Just take that and let's dwindle it down and we'll win the other matchup. So, you know, and I'm fine to fade him in tournaments. I'd even recommend it because we got Kenyon Drake, who's my favorite GP player at the position, as long as David Montgomery right there in that same price range, and both guys are favorites. They're both the lead, you know, back in their backfield. And in Drake's case last week, I know Edmonds played well, had a nice touchdown, but Drake still 69% snap rate, was flirting with 20 touches himself. We'll take that all day. Matchup, like we said, but Kyler isn't the best, but Drake's still capable of winning. And then Montgomery, you know, everything you said about the Bears rings true, but just looking at this spot, you know, 6 point or 5.5 point home favorites against the Giants defense that just made Benny Snell look like a superstar. Oh, I mean, look, I don't love Montgomery, but the guy, 6 out of 30 backs in week one, yards after contact per attempt. You know, he came on a little bit stronger last year, not even listed on the injury report with that groin injury. So I think Montgomery is in a very similar spot in a similar kind of two-back committee as Jonathan Taylor, just with a fraction of the ownership.
Yeah, we have Drake currently as the fourth projected highest owned running back. I didn't know if you had the same thing. He's right behind those big three that I mentioned. Montgomery down there at about 3%. I do like Montgomery quite a bit this week. I think he's interesting. If he gets into the end zone, maybe catches three passes, maybe he can get the 100-yard bonus if he's feeling – if Benny's – we can't call him Benny Snell anymore. It's Benny Slim, right? He's slimmed down. I didn't even recognize him when he was running out there. He looked like a totally different person.
He looked good.
Yeah, so, I can get 100%. You give me a play in that Bears-Giants game, I'm going to be on board. I like David Montgomery. I got Zeke for cash. Maybe a little worried. I want to see how that offensive line plays out. But I got to be honest, I'm probably going to – the whole offensive line starters could all be on. I'm probably going to play Zeke. He's too good. He was the highest graded running back at PFF for week one. We saw Tony Pollard, man, he's so good. He's so good. Basically, he gets like two or three snaps all game. This is Zeke's game. It's going to be a fast pace. It's sort of why you like Todd Gurley week one. We thought there were going to be a lot of points. It just didn't go to him. I got a news flash. They paid Zeke. He's going to get fed. He's going to get the ball. If they're down in like the 5-yard line, he's going to get a couple of chances to stuff it in there. He's probably got to be the right in line with CMC to be, if you had to have a touchdown prop this early in the week, I think he's probably right there with CMC.
I think Zeke should be just straight up projected for more points than McCaffrey.
The Blitz has him as that way.
Yeah, right now. As they should.
A couple tournament plays. I got Dalvin Cook. He's sitting there at 10%. So that's like, I don't know, the sixth or seventh highest projected owned running back of the week. Dude's just good. You like the over in that game. He shared a couple too many snaps with Madison. But, you know, he's Dalvin Cook. I expect as the season goes on, right, they lost the first game. They just paid Dalvin Cook. Maybe they give him some more carries because you can't go 0-2 in the NFL and really expect to have a lot of late season chances to make the playoffs and stuff like that. I'm looking for him to get, the lion's share of the carries here. He's just too good. Nobody's going to be owning him with everyone going to Zeke and Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor. So I think he's a little nice ownership swerve. And if you want a real ownership swerve, I got one for you at the end of the show when we go over Ian's helicopter play. Ooh. So that's sort of the lay of the land at running back. Why don't you start us off at wide receiver? Always a million wide receivers we can choose from. Mike Evans, 6,400 on DraftKings. If Godwin sits, Arians was coming out. We got to get him some targets. How do you not do that?
Even if he doesn't sit, man, that's fine. I let Godwin play so the ownership goes down on Evans, which I've seen. I don't know. It's always tough. We look at these different sites, and there's usually different projected ownership. So maybe Evans does come in as real chalky. But honestly, I'll eat it. That's fine. I want Evans in GPP and cash alike, man. He looked fine last week. It's a tough matchup against Marshawn Lattimore, but just in terms of Evans' hamstring health, he was out there for 90% plus snaps, and I don't think that would have been the case if he wasn't healthy. So still a little limited in practice this week, but I don't think we're going to see a game designation. And yeah, with this matchup, in the past, he hasn't had these huge games against the Carolina Panthers because they had James Bradberry tracking him all over the field. I don't think Bradberry is going to be confused with a top five corner anytime soon, but he is a bigger body guy that has consistently given guys like Evans, Michael Thomas, just in that division with on Julio Jones as well, six matchups against those guys every single year, pretty tough to make a big name for yourself. But he's now in New York, and now, they don't even have anyone over 200 pounds in that cornerback room. I think Evans is just going to beast out there. And, like you said, when Bruce Arians is out there saying that he feels like personally bad when Evans doesn't get the 10 targets per game, I definitely think they're going to go right back to him. And the other guy that I might talk a little more about later, but Will Fuller is just someone that, look, he's healthy. We got all the clarification in the world last week that he is Deshaun Watson's number one target, and he's home against, a great Ravens defense, but let's look a little closer at that. We got, Jimmy Smith not really playing safety. They don't move their cornerbacks, so Fuller could feasibly run the majority of his routes against Marcus Peters, who, hey, he's played great since joining the Ravens, but we all know he's always one, he gets a little greedy and jumps that route one play away from giving up a big one. And then Tavon Young in the slot, who's a winnable matchup. So Fuller, that week one could have been a ton bigger if Watson had put a potential 50-yard touchdown on him a little bit cleaner. I think, anytime Fuller's healthy, he truly has that 100-plus yards and two touchdown upside.
Yeah, and they didn't, the Texans coach, they didn't really scheme anything different, right? They're just, hey, Will Fuller, you're now DeAndre Hopkins. And Randall Cobb, you're Kiki Kuti. And, Kenny Stills and Brandon Cooks, you're now Will Fuller, right? So that's basically how that offense, I think, is going to go. I talk about, in that Millionaire Maker article, not falling into recency bias, but I think that's probably one we can't, although I do expect Randall Cobb to probably catch a pass in this game. I will go to that one. A couple of wide receivers I like, Davante Adams. How do you not play the guy? I know the Lions, they got hurt in the secondary a little bit last week, but I think they're getting Okuda back. It looks like he got in some practices this week, but he's come back from a hamstring injury in his first NFL game. Davante Adams or a rookie coming off an injury? Probably going to go Davante Adams on that one. I just expect him. He is the man. I find it really hard to see him not getting 10-plus targets in just about every single game he plays, unless specifically they just line up two people on him at the beginning of every play, which they're not going to do. So I just don't understand how you don't play Davante Adams. Aaron Rodgers looks like a real deal. Talk about how do you draft a quarterback and a running back you're not even going to play for like 2 years when you have a team that can win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers? I just don't understand what they were doing there in the front office. But hey, for DFS, that's Davante Adams getting a bajillion targets. And I think I would expect him to dominate the targets more than I would expect to have a DeAndre Hopkins dominate the targets like he did. So if I was choosing between those, I'm going to take Adams. A tournament play I got Marquise Brown. It looks like he had a great game week one, coming in sub 10% ownership. And why can't he repeat what he did in week one and expand on it? Pretend this game is a little bit closer, right? He played 67% of the snaps week one. That would go up if the game's close. He had 47% of the air yards in that game, right? So he's getting all the high valuable fantasy targets. According to PFF, Texans 30th in pass rush grade week one, not good. 31st in coverage grade, not good. Sounds like Marquise Brown's going to eat again, Ian.
I think Fuller and Hollywood kind of fall in the same boat, man. Like, don't worry about the matchup. Both these guys are A-plus field stretchers. And as we kind of saw in their week one usage, they're number one wide receiver on their team. So they're getting, you know, higher percentage shoulder stuff too. Like the, you know, boomer bust label we associate with them. I think the bust is a little bit less likely this year than we've seen in the past.
Yeah, Marquise Brown just looked good. He bulked up, right? He was like 160. He was a skinny twig. Now he's 180. You can verify that on Twitter.com if you want to see some pictures of a muscled up wide receiver there. That's a couple wide receiver plays. We'll talk a little bit more about some more just towards the end of the show here. Tight end, I want to talk about, there's a lot of good plays. Maybe I'll let you start off. We got Jamison Crowder, just got ruled out maybe a couple hours ago. Out of the 17 receptions the Jets will have this week, how many of them go to Chris Herndon?
15, 16, if I want to be, you know, just a little cool about it. But yeah, no, man, I'm going back to the well here. You know, week one didn't really scare me off of Chris Herndon. I mean, for him to finish second on the team in targets, 6 catches, 37 yards, no scores. Okay, it wasn't a tight end one performance, but if that's like the low end of his outcomes, we'll take that any day of the week. And now, yeah, Crowder's out. Herndon is looking like the absolute number one target in this passing game. And okay, maybe Rashad Perryman fights for that team leading targets, but you know, we just don't have many tight ends that cheap that we can confidently project for literally A-plus targets. So I think we got to go back to volume. And I know it's Gase, I know it's Darnold, but as we saw last week with Crowder, they can enable one guy. And now Crowder's out of the picture. I think Herndon can be that guy. The GPP route I would go, though, is Jordan Akins at 3,300. Akins is good, and he's been talked up a lot in training camp, but the problem was last year that him and Fells were literally splitting like snaps and targets alike week by week. That changed in week one. Fells wasn't even out there for more than 50% of the offensive snaps for the first time in a while. Akins was actually running more routes than everyone, including Will Fuller and those guys. So he was out there. I think they're treating him as a tight end one. You know, I've been saying this throughout the offseason, but to me, like Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, maybe we can put Joe Burrow on this list now, but if you can give any of those guys like a legit tight end one that can play almost every snap, I think they can flirt with 10 touchdowns any given year. Akins appears to be that guy. Go back to him while his price remains so low, because I don't think it's going to be below the 4K range for that much longer if he keeps up these types of snaps.
RIP my best ball teams. I had Uzoma and like every single draft is my very last pick, and every like I think I probably had him on like 50 best ball teams, and snap goes the Achilles. So hopefully the rest of my tight ends, the good thing is I paired him a lot with like Kelce, Andrews, and Kittle, so hopefully those guys can carry it. But I hate to see that go, because that dude was in line to be a back end tight end one, easily a top end tight end two with the amount of targets and stuff. And Drew Sample, right? We thought he was going to be a pass blocker. Maybe not. Maybe he can catch some passes. We'll have to see how that plays out. But I got for my cash game. Now, I love Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce. I think Kelce sets up to have a smash game. You got some really tough corners on that Chargers team. Kelce will dominate them in the middle. Mark Andrews, he could be the tight end one this year, and I think he'd be the tight end one for many years moving forward, in my opinion. But hey, there's the salary cap. So I'm going to a tight end. He ran 31 of his 52 snaps. He ran a route. He had 26% of his team targets and 30% of his team's air yards. He has a revenge game, and he has the flow chart. How do you not play Logan Thomas? Like, just out of nowhere. I mentioned him last week. It worked out pretty well. How do you not go back to the well in a game that everything favorable matchup? I don't know if revenge for a tight end actually, if a tight end can determine revenge, maybe a quarterback or a running back can, but he's going to be out there. He's running routes. He's playing snaps. And tight end Arizona, this has been a weakness for so long. He's cheap. It lets you get Davante Adams. It lets you get all the running backs you want. It lets you get Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray. I mean, I think he looks pretty good this week.
Yeah, I just kind of worry, man. Like the touchdown, he wasn't even guarded. He made some other nice catches. Like he looked good out there, but I just wonder in this offense, can someone other than Terry McLaurin provide you that consistent production? Is it going to be someone other than Antonio Gibson? I'm a little south, I guess, on the Logan Thomas. I guess for me, it's like I don't know that Logan Thomas is going to get many more opportunities than Jordan Akins or Chris Herndon. And okay, I'm fine taking the Washington offense over the Jets offense, but give me Jordan Akins all day still.
All right. And then for tournaments, one of the things, you know, if you look at what makes a tight end have a good game in like terms of like spreads and things like that, it's big home favorites. I got Jonnu Smith. We've got maybe AJ Brown looking a little iffy. We've got Corey Davis off his big game. Maybe he's not going to be 100% either. Why not Jonnu Davis? I know Derrick Henry's the talk of the town. This gives you a little bit of leverage in tournaments. If you're playing Gardner Minshew, right? I think you could play Henry in a Minshew stack, but you could also play Jonnu Smith as like a receiver in that one. Just one of the strongest trends are these really big home favorites for tight ends. And I think Jonnu, he clearly has the athletic ability. He can kick a screen pass 50 yards. He can run the ball in. There's a lot of ways for him to come out. So I like him as a tournament play. We didn't talk defenses last week, but we got a little bit of time. So I guess I'll throw these to you. I see you're adding them in here into the sheet. I got to look at a couple too. What are a couple defenses you're looking at?
I think we might have mentioned I at least had Saints written down from last week.
There
So
you go.
I'll give myself a theoretical pat on the back if we didn't talk about them. But Buccaneers at 2,900, I think are in play for cash games. Ronald Jones is pretty cheap too. And, you know, looking at 15 plus touches against one of the worst run defenses still that we've seen in quite some time. So I think that's a pretty easy and affordable stack if you want to go that route. Again, Buccaneers, they held the Saints the second fewest yards per play in week one, despite that loss. So, you know, they brought back all those pass rushers. We got Devin White and Lavonte David holding down linebacker. And Carlton Davis has been locking down every wide receiver one he's been facing off. And even removing him, you know, Jamel Dean and Sean Murphy Bunting are doing some good things as well. So truly a complete defense. And, you know, so are the Saints. It was a good week one matchup. Let's keep on going back the well with them moving forward. And then also the Dolphins at 2,100. I mean, facing that New England offense with Cam, they had no idea what was really coming. And just the way the Patriots played that game out was going to be tough for them to do all that much. This is still a much improved secondary with Byron Jones and a bunch of new rookies that they drafted high that are going to get better as the year goes on. 2,100 against the Bills. I mean, look, the Bills could easily score 30-plus points. But, you know, guys like Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, even Russell Wilson to some extent, like we can still play fantasy defenses against these guys because they take a lot of sacks. And it's not even necessarily like I hate when people criticize Deshaun Watson for taking all these sacks because, you know, when you're under pressure, there's only so many things you can do. You can try to extend the play and risk taking the sack. You can throw the ball away and nothing good happens, or you can try to force it into coverage and force an interception. So as much as they do take the sacks, a lot of amazing plays do come out of that. Either way, like this is my long way of saying that Josh Allen is going to make mistakes for as many good plays as he probably will make out there. Dolphins at 2,100 is a good way to save salary, and wouldn't be shocking if they're able to group together multiple turnovers.
All right. I do like the Bills and Dolphins too, so I can get behind you in that one as both as tournament plays. A couple other tournament teams you consider when I'm looking at ownership out here. I mentioned at the top, I like the Rams to win. One of the reason is I think their D-line has a big advantage over the Philadelphia offensive line. So the Rams defense at low ownership looks pretty good. One of the things you want from your defense is you sometimes want your offense to get out to a big lead because that allows for sacks and interceptions and things like that to happen. Why not take the Cardinals defense? If we like the Cardinals offense so much, maybe we could take a look at the Cardinals defense. I think Washington defense showed they're in play, I think, every week too, with just how good they were. We'll see. Was it the depleted offensive line or was it the really good defensive line? I don't mind then. And then if you want to get weird, right? If offensive line doesn't matter and the Cowboys are going to be really injured, we got to see how it is. Defenses do weird things. Sometimes the lowest owned defense of the week, this happened twice last year, is the highest scoring defense of the week because this is just how it is. You get some weird things happen. I'm going to throw out the Falcons as one of my random tournament plays, but this is really if a lot of that offensive line injuries do hold true and they do end up missing a lot of them. So just you can get weird with defense in tournaments. It's the hardest to predict. And I don't mind getting a little weird if you're playing in like the Millie Maker or the Mini Max or any of these, like you got to beat 200,000 type of people tournaments out there. So that's where I'm looking at for some defense. Before we get to the chopper plays, I want to remind everybody from this show, we are running a discount on our Core 4 subscription. It's normally $39.99 a month. If you go to rotogrinders.com/premium, there's some sort of web code. I don't know how it is. Devin's got the link in the YouTube chat. If you're into that, if you have trouble finding it, you could DM me on Twitter or on RotoGrinders if you're listening to this on podcast, and I'll help you out. But instead of it being $39.99 a month, if you are a new subscriber, use code PFF. That's Pro Football Focus, PFF. That will get you a $5 discount on your first month only for $34.99. And if you want everything, if you want to play soccer and tennis and MMA and college football and esports and WNBA, you can get $20 off our Core 4 plus specialist package. That is normally $100 a month. Me personally, I think the regular RotoGrinders premium should be $100 a month. I think it's extremely undervalued, but that's how we like to have a lot of subscribers, right? But you can get that combo Core 4 plus specialist instead of $100 for $79.99 a month. That's code PFF when you sign up for a RotoGrinders subscription. All right, Devin, hopefully you got the music. I don't know if you listened to this last week, Ian, but it was pretty cool. Yeah. We piped in some music for people. This is the end of the show. We talked some helicopter plays from Ian. These are guys, right? Main slate only. They can't have a top five price tag. I'm cheating on one of those. Can't have ownership above 5%. Why don't you give a couple? I'll give mine, and you can finish out the rest of the couple.
Yeah, so, yeah, those are the criteria. Again, we're looking for, you know, GPP, you know, not quite darts, but, you know, again, the low-owned, high-upside guys. So my five finalists, I mentioned a couple of these guys already. Mentioned Will Fuller and why, you know, just regardless of the matchup, I think he needs to be in this consideration. So in a week where people are just seemingly fading him because of the matchup, I don't think that's enough reason to get off him. Raheem Mostert is someone in that 6,000 range. I think no one's really looking at running backs there because they're either going up to the Zeke territory or they're going down to kind of that Jonathan Taylor range. And, you know, Mostert, I was a little worried this year because McKinnon coming in to just take all the pass down snaps and targets. But that wasn't the case. I mean, both McKinnon and Mostert had five targets, and Mostert, you know, taking that one, that angle route, 75 yards to the house, broke the next gen stats record for fastest play over the past three seasons. The guy's a baller. They don't have any sort of, you know, with Kittle potentially out and Ayuk banged up, Debo still out. They're going to need to keep throwing the ball. So love Mostert this week. Mentioned David Montgomery earlier. Don't need to rehash that. Austin Eckler is one where, you know, you were kind of talking earlier about Alvin Kamara week two and then going to week three. No one was on him. I think Eckler's in the same space because, yeah, one target sucked. But you know what a good way how to get more targets is? Play the Chiefs and be trailing by multiple scores. So I think he's going to see more there. And, you know, despite the one target, still at 69% snaps and career high 19 carries. I mean, look, Joshua Kelly is going to be involved, but he's not going to be the Melvin Gordon. He could be what Justin Jackson was in weeks one through four last year, which is fine. It's 40-50% and, you know, 10 to 12 carries per week, but don't get it twisted. Eckler is the guy in Los Angeles. And then finally, Scotty Miller is one I'm looking at. And this is, you know, he's in that low 4K range. So, you know, definitely taking a bit of a reach here, but Buccaneers really like him. I mean, it was interesting to hear what Bruce Arians said after the game. And, you know, Miller, what have, he had over 100 yards if you include, I think it was a 30-yard defensive pass interference he drew. And just Bruce Arians pretty much said, hey, look, this is what they've been doing every day at practice throughout training camp. Tom trusts Scotty, and you know, he's playing well. So we didn't quite know what these splits were going to look like with Tyler Johnson and Justin Watson in there. And it was Goblin and Evans up in that 90% range, but Scotty Miller right there at 60%. You know, Bruce Arians was just saying that Goblin's going to be listed as doubtful. If he's able to pass the protocol tomorrow, he'll be questionable. We'll see. Either way, you know, Scotty Miller, anywhere from 6 to 8 targets potentially against his secondary. Sign me up.
We just got news too that A.J. Brown is out, so that solidifies my Jonnu Smith. Probably the ownership will creep up a little bit, but keep an eye on the Tennessee pass game without A.J. Brown. Maybe we get Corey Davis week 2. Adam Humphries return from the dead. Undertaker gift us all on week 1-2. He had himself a nice game, and then of course Jonnu and some Derrick Henry screen pass trains for 70 yards. Those always sound good. But I want to talk about a couple of. I'm going to try to compete with Ian. I don't have 5. I got 2. I'm cheating on a top 5 price tag because there is no way that Saquon Barkley should be 3% owned. I checked ours, right? We got him at 3%. I went over to PFF. You guys have him under 3% as well. Everyone is playing Henry. Everyone's playing Zeke. Everyone's playing Jonathan Taylor, right? There's not enough. Oh, man, $500 for Zeke with negative rushing yards or whatever that crap was. Get it out of here. Adrian Peterson just ran for 93 yards. On 14 carries against the Bears. Swift and AP combined for 6 catches. What on earth do you think Saquon's going to do? He is not going to suck 2 weeks in a row. 3% ownership. This is how you win the large field contest. And a lot of the research I've done, you don't really search for low-owned running backs unless it's Saquon at 3%, right? That's the type of play that wins you a tournament. I mentioned at the top, right? Alvin Kamara week 3 last year, after he was the highest owned player week 2 and he dudded. This is what you look for at the running back position at low ownership. Swerve onto Saquon. It's a couple extra bucks. He could top out Henry. He could beat Zeke pretty easily, in my opinion. And you're getting like 10-1 ownership advantage on that. So Zeke's one. And the other one is sort of recency bias on the shiny toys. We get shiny toys. We get Paris Campbell, right? He's the new wide receiver one. We get Deontay Johnson, shiny object, getting a lot of targets out there in Pittsburgh. We get CeeDee Lamb, right? He's going to get a lot of targets this week. We get Christian Kirk. Well, he didn't get a lot of targets, but people still like him because he's in the Arizona offense. We forget, hey, Mike Williams. He's a bad man, and he likes to catch touchdowns. So Mike Williams, he's 4,200 on DraftKings. Chiefs without Rashard Breeland and Ward. What is Tyrod? Tyrod doesn't check it down to Austin Eckler. He throws it deep. He had 42% of the air yards week 1. What is not to like about Mike Williams? This, like, the game sets up perfectly. No one's using him. Everyone's on the new shiny toys. Mike Williams in a GPP. You, Saquon, play the chalk elsewhere, ride your way to victory. Those are my 2, Ian.
I like him, man. Yeah, Saquon just should never be that low owned, regardless of the matchup or what's going on. You brought up good points about the way AP was able to slash through that Bears D. And yeah, Mike Williams, I mean, you look at – if you watch all those targets he had last week, I mean, even the incompletions were impressive as hell. Great, I mean, two of them. Yeah, 2 one-handed catches where he just landed out of bounds. I get it. It's not a catch if you don't get your feet in bounds. But, you know, guy's always been a special talent. Like, just because Keenan Allen has been getting fed targets doesn't mean Mike Williams couldn't be, you know, a true wide receiver one in his own right in the right situation. And as you said, Tyrod is not checking the ball down. And Mike Williams is every bit.
Yeah, so that's a couple of my helicopter plays to try to keep pace with Ian. That's going to do it for the show today. Again, if you have a free subscription at PFF, just go sign up. You can read his helicopter articles. They did put his mismatch manifesto behind the paywall because it's too good to give out. In my opinion, everything you ever look at should be behind a paywall in DFS. I think that's probably how it should be. Or if you have really good information, someone out there should be charging for it. So I'm glad they put it behind the paywall. You can get that a PFF sub on the low end for $39.99 and get access to a bajillion things. That is the only other thing I subscribe to personally, other than the things we have here at RotoGrinders. So go check that out. Ian, it's been fun. We'll be back here for week 3 and all throughout the season, bringing you the manifesto, the helicopter plays, and everything else. Have fun out there. Good luck, Ian, to everyone watching. Thanks for watching. And we out, y'all.